Now, the largest new media platform on the web and your number one source for after-show entertainment.
Very good, Johnson.
The AfterBuzz Studios in Los Angeles, California, and streaming live on Ustream, this is AfterBuzz TV for the Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. We'll break down tonight's episode and get you all the latest Real Housewives news and gossip. If you'd like to buzz in on tonight's show, you can buzz us at 424-256-1729. That's 424-256-1729. And now, picking up where the show leaves off, and the buzz continues, it's AfterBuzz TV for the Real Housewives of Beverly Hills.
Hello, everyone. Mari Sagal here. I am so excited to talk about last night's episode. Unfortunately, I was not able to host last week as it was my birthday, but I had my two favorite co-hosts there to fill in for me, and thank God both of you are here tonight. Jackie and Jesse, how are you guys?
I am
good, Mari. How are you guys?
I'm good, girls. I'm glad that I got both of you guys back here. I had so much fun being Team JJ last week, but we missed our Mari.
I know, Mari. We really missed you because the spirit of Beverly Hills is in you.
and
we know you.
I also wanted to introduce an honorary co-host who's sitting next to me right now. His name is Luca. He's a three-month-old kitten, and he came home with me from the ASPCA this weekend, so I wanted to give Luca, my three-month-old four-pound kitten, a shout-out. I'll tweet out pictures for all our listeners so you can see how cute he is, but he is a little Beverly Hills Housewives fan as well.
I love his name.
I saw Luca on Facebook, and it's he, right? Or she?
It's a he.
Yeah. Oh, so cute. Was that your little birthday present?
That was my birthday present, was my little kitten Lucas. So he's an honorary AfterBuzz TV co-host. But in all seriousness, we do have a special guest calling in tonight. She'll be calling in soon. Her name is Meredith Feinman. She's a good friend of mine, and she is a hilarious writer for a website called the FFJD about single Jewish dating life in your 20s. You guys got to check that out. But she's a huge Real Housewives fan. She'll be calling in. Have a lot to get to tonight. But I wanted, before we get into the game night, because I know, Jesse, you are just so excited to talk about what went down on this game night. Before we get into all of that, I just wanted to bring up Lisa and her impending wedding planning. You know, we saw on the episode that her daughter is, in fact, getting married. And I wanted to share for all of our listeners, I will have an exciting guest calling in next week. You saw in the previews, Kevin, he is the incredibly fabulous, flamboyant wedding planner for Lisa's wedding. Well, guess what? He planned my sister's wedding, so he's going to be calling in and sharing all of the Vanderpump wedding details with us next week. So you'll have to stay tuned for that.
Very exciting.
So exciting, Mari. And I am becoming such a Lisa fan, which I think you're going to be happy to hear, Mari. I love Lisa. I can't get enough of her lately on Real Housewives.
So then were you guys sad not to see very much of Lisa or Adrian in the episode at all?
Yeah, I mean, I certainly was. I don't know about you, Jesse, but I think Lisa, it was nice. Their storyline, it was definitely smaller, but it was definitely a great storyline. Her table looked amazing. It was a much more real side of her, which I like seeing. But, yeah, I could always use more Lisa, and definitely Adrian. I love her, too.
I mean, I love Lisa. I was very disappointed of her storyline this week, kind of. The wedding thing was cool, but I want her, like, thrown into the pit with everybody else. And then Adrian, I don't know. She's a little wishy-washy for me.
Oh, how dare you. I love Adrian. Adrian is one of my favorites. And, well, I mean, Jesse, what did you think when Adrian was with Brandy? That was the only time he saw her in the episode, unfortunately. Oh, she was with Kyle as well, but when she was with Brandy, and she was giving her all this advice, like, you know, you got to have a thick skin. Don't you just, like, love, she has such a good head on her shoulders compared to the other women, I feel like.
No, I do. I do like Adrian. Don't get me wrong. The reason why I wasn't, why I was fine with her not being in this episode, because I think if she was at that house, things wouldn't have went down the way they did. And I'm very glad that they did. But the one thing I mentioned to Jackie last week was that, I don't know, sometimes I feel like Adrian has a jealousy over Lisa. Like, I feel like she, like, tries to compete where Lisa isn't even thinking about it in that sense. And I don't know that, and I could be totally wrong and just picking up weird signals, but I don't know. I just get that from her, and that just kind of turns me off from her. But I do like her. I do think she is one of the only ones with her head on, you know, pretty straight. But I can.
Yeah, well, they do live across the street from each other, though Lisa just moved. And I think what you're picking up on, I think that definitely Adrian's cook doesn't like Lisa. Because he doesn't like, she, like, offended him, and he didn't like that the dog was there. I don't know if Adrian and her necessarily have competition, but maybe that's a storyline that you're picking up on that I haven't, like, picked up on yet.
I don't know.
Jesse was saying that last week, and I said, you know, they both kind of have that higher level of, like, some of these housewives are, I feel like, money-wise, just, like, I feel like Adrian and Lisa are on that really high level of, like, they're, like, kind of the queens of the group, in my opinion. And Camille as well.
They totally are. Which I'm glad that you said that they're the queens of the group, because later on we're going to talk about Dana, and I think Dana is a wannabe Lisa and a wannabe Adrian when it comes to wealth, and she just handles it in a totally inappropriate manner. But we'll get to that later. Because that was mostly at the game night. Before the game night, basically, I mean, what did you guys think? I thought it was producers kind of setting up this whole women versus Brandy. It was like, you know, Taylor and Dana talking shit on Brandy while baking cookies, and Kyle and Adrian talking about Brandy at lunch, and Brandy talking about how hard it is for her with the other women. So I felt like that was just the whole like classic producer setup. I think that they're making Brandy the villain this season. Camille has decided she does not want that to be her role, and she's trying her very best, even though I still see moments of that old Camille, she's trying her very best. And so now the producers have chosen Brandy to be the villain. Do you guys agree with me there?
Definitely. You see it coming from a mile ahead, this whole producer setup, you know, even from Lisa cooking to going to Taylor cooking, like, it's like, oh, let's do cooking in the opening of the episode. There was such a producer hand here setting up this show. But nonetheless, it didn't cut into how entertaining this episode was, because as you said, Jesse, in your tweet, what did you tweet before the show? It's like a classic reality television.
Yes, classic reality TV moment. Like, this is, to me, this is exactly what reality TV is about. I watch so many shows here at AfterBuzz, and as much as I've loved doing this show with you guys, it was this episode that made me say, oh my God, this is purely genius. I watch all the other Housewives shows. You know, I'm here in studio. Whatever these guys are watching, I'm watching. This was raw. Yes, producers set this up. Absolutely set this up. I mean, even down to, like, Adrian calling awkwardly on speakerphone and being like, oh, yeah, I can't come. I have to do things. Like, okay. Personally, I feel producers were like, we would like you not to go to the party, you know, just to kind of see how the other girls react. Now, that whole incident was perfect reality TV. That is, I definitely think everything that happened there was real. I definitely think the feelings there were real. I could feel what they were feeling. It was classic.
Well, I think our special guest will be calling in soon, and it'll be interesting to hear her perspective. Jesse,
our special guest is on the line with us right now.
Oh, Oh, great. Hello. Well, let me introduce her. Meredith Fineman is with us, everyone. Hi, Meredith. How are you?
Good. How are you guys doing?
Good, good. I'm so excited to have you on. As I mentioned to our listeners earlier, Meredith is the creator of the SFJD.com, and it's a hilarious website. You all have to check it out. It's about dating life in your 20s. It's so hilarious. And she is a huge Real Housewives of Beverly Hills fan. And Meredith, let me just catch up on the loop. Jesse was actually saying last night was one of his favorite episodes of the season. But when you and I were talking earlier, this was one of your least favorite episodes, right?
You know, I just found it cringeworthy. I thought it was sort of almost uncomfortable to watch. I really did. I found that, you know, there was so much tension, and nobody was acknowledging what was going on with Kim. Nobody would acknowledge it.
Oh, TV gold. I loved it. I loved the awkwardness. I loved the tension. Because these girls are living in a life of luxury, and they all just paint over everything like it's perfect. And here we are in the middle of it all, and everybody is awkward. Everybody doesn't know what to do. Everyone knows what's going on. I mean, it's just crazy. And I don't think Kim's an alcoholic, actually. I think she's popping some pills, personally.
I think it's definitely pill-related. I think that if you look, I was actually Googling last night. There's a video that was on TMZ of her in an airport, clearly disoriented, you know, popping pills. And these guys were filming her, and if you guys provide a link to your listeners, it's just too bad. It's a sad situation.
So are you saying you think it's inappropriate to be showing a woman who is clearly dealing with an addiction so vulnerably out there on the show? That's what makes you feel uncomfortable?
Well, she knows what she signed up for. They all know what they signed up for, and nobody wants to be the one to bring it up because it's a real problem. I think a lot of these women fight over very first world problems, we could say, but this is something that is a genuine issue, and none of them, I don't think, are equipped to deal with it.
And now, Jackie, just from the Bravo perspective, what do you think of them showing someone who is clearly dealing with an addiction problem, you know, at a state like that?
Well, I was actually going to say that I have firsthand experience of working with a celebrity on television that definitely was under an influence of some sort. But when it's something like that, it's very hard to pinpoint because the
right.
pill taking or whatever you think is going on, it's not like right in your face, but you just get that crazy behavior. And there are plenty of celebrities that go on TV like that, that function like that, and it's not uncommon. And, you know, it's not going to stop the cameras for sure. In a reality show, they're going to eat it up.
Right. You know, I just thought, though, that even her sister didn't know what to do and felt embarrassed. And it was just so upsetting. I thought it was so upsetting.
And so I want to ask all three of you, first Meredith, are you guys on Team Brandy or are you on Team Kim and Kyle when it comes to everything that went down last night?
I think that Kim and Kyle acted like total brats. I think that I was as I was watching that episode, I was thinking what I would have done if I were Brandy, and I think I would have gotten up and left. I mean, they were so nasty to her, so mean. She's clearly the new girl. It was just so unnecessary, and she was the only one who was willing to speak up about what was really going on.
Yeah, I am.
And Jesse,
definitely...
what did you think?
Oh, I mean, okay. In reality, I would side with Brandy just because if I was in that situation, I would, exactly like you said, Meredith, if I was Brandy, I would have just got up, walked out like I don't need to have time for any of this. But at the same time, Brandy, She just has this thing about her where she just gives off, like, this cattiness. And it's, like, exactly like Camille said, like, if you feel awkward, it was very childish of them to be making those comments out loud. But at the same time, pull them aside. Call them out. Like, stop. Everyone's putting, you know, the dirt under the carpet. It's like, well, so you're just as bad. Like, because if I was in that situation, I would have said, excuse me, what's the issue here? Talk about it. If any more tension builds, then you leave. But you aren't addressing the problem. Instead, you call her a bitch, and it's like, well, now you just lit the fire. So to me, both of them are playing this catty game, and it's just like, so personally, last night's episode, totally team Kyle and Kim, and I wasn't really all for Kyle at first, but I love reality TV. I love awkward moments, and they gave it to me.
Well,
Jackie,
you normally love Kyle. I know that you always respect her, but I feel you're going to have a tough time defending her actions last night.
Absolutely, Mari. I am so disappointed in Kyle. I can't even believe that I'm Team Brandy on this episode, because yet I'm not surprised, Mari, because we know in the land of the Real Housewives, our opinions change every episode. But Kyle is somebody who I always thought was consistent and real and down to earth compared to the other women. And Camille called her out perfectly, where she said they were being mean girls. They were totally out of line. Kyle does not know Brandy yet. She's making assumptions. It was almost like, because she was with her sister, it was a bad influence, and they just ganged up on Brandy. And, you know, maybe she was trying to make her sister sort of cushion her sister's actions. But there's just no way to defend Kyle in this episode. It was totally undeserved. Brandy's reaction could have been anything, because, in my opinion, Kyle and Kim were just so outlandishly rude for so many different moments leading up to Brandy's reaction.
Well, I have to include Kyle's blog, because she, you know, for every time that she has been a mean girl, she's always copped up to it. She said in her blog about watching herself, it makes me sad because I'm not a mean person. Neither is my sister Kim. And this whole night felt mean-spirited. I'm disappointed in myself that it got so out of hand. If this was typical of my behavior, my husband would never tolerate it. I've always taught my kids to treat people the way they want to be treated. I guess they'll be skipping this episode. So she did admit that, but personally, you know, I'm with you, Jesse. I normally hate Brandy. I normally think that she's kind of a bitch, and you know, I love to hate her, but last night I thought that she was picked on, and so I'm on Team Brandy.
I normally love Kyle. I think she is much realer than the other girls, and I was really surprised by her behavior, I have to say. I really was.
Well, another thing, I actually listened to a Ryan Seacrest interview this morning with Kyle, and Kyle did admit that she wasn't proud of how she was represented on the show, and she said for the most part she doesn't even, because Ryan said, well, does editing have anything to do with it? And she said for the most part, no. She was like, you know, it did come off looking like I was nasty. She said, however, they did cut out little things that added to the buildup of it. Like when Brandy walked into the house and she said, oh, I can't get down the step. It made it seem like Kyle looked at her and didn't help her. But actually, Kyle offered to help her. And the editors cut that out.
That's a lot of editing.
But, I mean, that was a big thing for me.
What did you guys think about the fact that Kim hid her crutches? I thought out of all of the, like, jabs they took at each other, I thought that was by far the most mean-spirited thing.
I just thought it was so mean-spirited. I thought it was so unnecessary. I think a lot of that behavior was just completely unnecessary. I mean, I'm not sure that Kim was in a place to really judge what she was doing herself, so who knows?
And Jackie.
Oh, yeah, no, I was just going to say, I think that even though it was mean-spirited, it was kind of the funniest part because, I mean, it was all just so wrong, but then, you know, when you get to those moments that are clearly wrong, and then it's just like you just have to sit back and laugh at that point. Definitely nothing right about it, but as a viewer, I laughed at that one.
Jesse, what did you think?
I just thought it was crazy. I mean, Kim is hilarious to me. You know, whether she's dealing with whatever it is she's dealing with, that, I mean, how, wait, do we know Kim's age?
I believe Kim is in her late 40s or early 50s. I believe Kyle's younger than her, so she has to be in her early 50s.
Yeah, I
no
mean...
No way, really? Well, I know that Kyle is in her 40s, and so she's probably in her late 40s.
Huh.
Wow.
I mean, to me, that's really surprising behavior. I mean, like, the cattiness, I'm all for that, but then, like, to hide someone's crutch, like, it's funny to me, but... It's almost to the point of, like, I mean, we could have went without it. Like, there was no, that's
well,
taking.
All of it, yeah, all of it felt so childish, I thought. And it's so funny because Brandy is, like, 15 years younger than any of them. Yeah, Kim is actually 47.
Oh, okay. But that, to me, like, just, I don't know. As much as, like, I understand where, you know, people would come from watching this episode and say, well, no, now I'm Team Brandy. You know, there's just a nastiness that I see in Brandy, even when she's being the victim. And it's just like, it's so clear. I've dealt with those kind of girls. And you can deflect just by being this classy and just stating the classiness and all this. But it's the little comments that you make. Again, she made the slut comment. And it was just like, why? Why do you keep going there? You... If you were really as mature as you were saying you are and claiming, you wouldn't be going, you wouldn't be dodging all these bullets, and then she picks and chooses which ones she wants to hit back over to them, and she picks the wrong ones.
Well, she has these but moments the where is. She's, like, mature and then immature.
Right.
And it's bizarre. Like, you when they first introduced her on the show... The first thing she said was, oh, I'm the ex-wife of the worst man on the planet, Eddie Cibrian. Like, how immature is that?
Yeah. Especially with all, like,
the thing is, though, she's immature, but I enjoy watching her. I love to hate her, and I like watching her because she's entertaining. But I want to ask you guys all about Dana because I consistently, throughout the last three episodes, ever since she was introduced, I just don't like watching her. First she was boring, and then last episode she was just kind of, like, too full of herself. And then this episode she was, like, a desperate wannabe social climber. She basically was, like, showing off, oh, this is Valentino, oh, this is Fendi. And then, like, her jumping in to defend Kim and Kyle, she doesn't know them. So it came off like she was just sucking up to them, and I thought it was desperate on top of her pleading several times over to invite herself to Camille's house in Hawaii. I thought the whole thing just stunk of desperation, and I don't really like watching her.
No, I thought it was by far the most awkward part of that episode and so uncomfortable because you could clearly tell that this woman was just trying to compete with these other women. She was name dropping, she was label dropping. It was so, I felt so sorry for her. I found it so uncomfortable.
And Meredith, on the FFJD, you always, you know, you talk about girls who can be like this, right?
Yeah.
Name dropping, label dropping. What would you say about Dana if you were to write about her on your website?
Well, I think that, you know, as Camille said, if you're really someone who can afford those sorts of things, you would hope to have the taste level to not talk about them. I think that she's clearly just trying to overcompensate because she is not necessarily in the same position as these other women.
Yeah, Jesse and then Jackie, what did you guys think of Dana and her actions at the game night?
Well, I mean, it's funny because last week I had to confess to Jackie, you know, I thought that in my original prediction that Dana, from meeting Dana, you know, I kind of went in thinking, oh, Dana's going to be like really cool, low-key housewife. And I was excited that she was going to bring that type of energy there. Maybe she will in future episodes. And maybe they're just setting something up. You know, but even Jackie said last week, because I kept really bashing her for the $25,000 sunglasses. You know, Jackie said she did believe that there was some editing sliced into that as far as how many times she really did say it. But again, watching it tonight, I wish you guys could watch this with me. I literally laughed through this entire episode. This was this was amazing reality. This was like watching the Jersey Shore. Like, are you kidding me? Dana, amazing. Amazing. I loved it. As awkward as she was, it was amazing to watch this girl screaming around these women. Just, I don't even want to use the word pathetic, but honey, please, like, you've got to be kidding me. Like, Kim, Kyle, she calls me Pam. I don't like it. What? Are you kidding? Who says that? You are too old for that. You're on the floor, like, drinking wine. Like, this is not, like, a slumber girl party. This is not Hello Kitty. Like, what are you doing? Fendi, we can all name, like, Camille read what she has on. I mean, even down to her panties. Like, imagine what she's wearing. Like, please, exactly like Kyle said, TJ Maxx, honey. It was absolutely hilarious.
Oh, so awkward. Oh, my God. Dana, definitely my stance from last week stands this week on Dana, which is you can spend all the money in the world on an outfit and it doesn't give you sense of style. Just because that was Valentino doesn't mean that she looked good, doesn't mean she looked comfortable. She couldn't even move in her shoes. And the biggest thing, you could be wearing $10 shoes, $10 sunglasses, which I actually just bought a pair on the street this week that look like Ray-Bans and they look gorgeous and they were 10 bucks. But because I rocked them, that's how you have to carry fashion. And Dana just, that's just representative of her personality. She has no self-confidence, it seems. She has no sense of self, and she just tries to jump on whatever bandwagon she can at this point.
And even to add on to what Meredith was saying about those types of girls, it's funny because, you know, growing up in high school, you know, you would see these types of girls who, last week we saw her kind of, you know, she was almost she was actually embarrassed in front of the other girls with Brandy's comment. You know, Brandy apologized this week and felt it was a harsh comment, but still it put Dana in the situation of, like, really, you're siding with Kim and Kim is clearly, like, losing it in your house. But she just found an opportunity for her to join the Mean Girls team where she knew that she would have some sort of power. And she wanted that power so bad. She's, like, desperately seeking for this some sort of power within this group to attach herself. You saw that with even Camille. Like, why are you awkwardly inviting yourself to Hawaii? Have you ever been there for you to be making these claims like this? I'd be a great house guest. Like, no, you wouldn't.
I will say on her blog, she wrote, "The gush about Hawaii to Camille was a bit much. In the beginning of the night, I wanted to make everyone feel at home, and I guess I overdid it." I think that's her excuse for her just being an uncomfortable, very low self-confidence girl who just tries to overcompensate. But Meredith, before we let you go, I wanted to ask you, what are you hoping for the rest of the season? What are your predictions? At the end of every after show, we always like to do our predictions. So what are your predictions for the season?
Well, I think obviously there will be a lot of Taylor-based plot lines. I would hope that they'll be tasteful about it. And you can tell sort of from upcoming episodes, there's that sort of the elephant in the room. But I also wouldn't be surprised if, given this response, there's all these new Kim sort of allegations as, I guess, the smaller elephant in the room. But I think more than anything, I'm excited for Lisa Vanderpump's wedding in her life. I love her daughter, and how hot is her new son-in-law?
I know, he's so hot. Well, you'll definitely have to,
All right, After Buzzers, we had a little technical difficulty there. We want to apologize for that. We're going to get the girls back on the line. All right, we have Jackie back on the line.
Yes, sorry about that, guys.
Absolutely.
I got so excited, I must have hit the off button.
All right, and we got Mari back on the line.
Mari. Are you there, Mari?
Yes, I'm here, guys. Oh. Sorry about that. I wanted to give a shout out to Meredith. You can follow her at the FFJD and also the FFJD.com, so make sure to check that out, guys. And why don't we go to a quick commercial break before we get into some news and gossip and some predictions? Does that sound good, DJ Jesse?
Absolutely. Let's go.
Want to find out what the AfterBuzz is about?
Janice is a drama queen.
This is the divide that is going to carry the series.
Give us a call. 424-256-1729. 256-1729.
It's television, and they want it to be as dramatic as possible.
I mean, it's Shakespearean.
You never know what goes on behind closed doors.
Find out why AfterBuzz TV is the number one source for after-show content.
Now, in the eyes of Jimmy, Nucky is a villain.
424-256-1729. 424-256-1729.
I mean, who would you guys rather hear that from? Your husband or your best friend?
The wig!
The wig will come out.
When the TV show is over, get your AfterBuzz on.
Okay, so our news and gossip this week, we actually have some breaking news to share. Kelsey Grammer's daughter, Spencer, gave birth to a baby boy today. She named him Emmett Emmanuel. So he has a grandson, and he has a new wife. He has a lot of additions to the family, and I'm curious to see how Camille feels about this one.
Absolutely. I mean, that's always a hard thing when you have like a child with another woman and there's so much going on with them, with their former marriage. It's just got to be another blow for her.
Yeah, and also in Kelsey and Camille news, he is apparently upset that she allowed their son to have FaceTime on TMZ last week. She was approached by a cameraman and asked what activity she enjoys with her kids, and he answered play. The 7-year-old son. I don't think that's a big deal, but apparently Kelsey wants a family judge to prevent her from putting their children on camera. They have never once appeared on Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, but I guess he was upset that they were even on TMZ. And Camille says, though, just a few days after the incident, they were in front of cameras with Kelsey outside of the steakhouse boa. So, you know, this divorce just keeps going back and forth. Last week, during a custody battle, a judge said that she lost her battle over which parent would be in charge of looking after the children. She's still fairly involved with her daily activities, but she did lose that battle with Kelsey. At this point, it's just sad to have to go back and forth with the children to the point where they're not even speaking at all and only through a mediator to discuss their children. It's just sad.
Yeah, the whole thing is sad, and I definitely think the thing with TMZ is that, you know, I think it's kind of worse to be on TMZ than it is to be on certain, you know, outlets, and I think it would actually be less, you know, upsetting to Kelsey maybe to have the child on TV, because at least it's a controlled environment. TMZ is just, I feel like it's related to kind of like trash news and things like that. And so, I don't know, TMZ is a tough one. I kind of have to side with Kelsey on that.
And I want to hear both your opinions on this one. Apparently, Taylor is dating a new guy. I don't know if I believe this. I hope this isn't true because it's just a little too soon and a little too close for comfort. Apparently, she's been seen out with most eligible Dallas star, Matt Nordegren. He is 28, and he is on, you know, the other Bravo show, Most Eligible Dallas. They were at a Top Chef and MTV party in Dallas over the weekend, and they were spotted openly holding hands at the parties. I certainly hope that's not true. I just think that's inappropriate. Jesse, Jackie, what do you guys think?
I don't know if I believe that. I mean, we've seen how many times... Yeah. I've been in here how many times watching different episodes where girls, you know, they'll break, talk about gossip and sites like that. And, you know, someone snaps a picture of somebody really close to somebody else. And maybe he was there. Maybe there was a minuscule, like a tiny little bit of flirting going on. But I don't think anything, I mean, that would be really awkward.
Yeah, I have to side with you, Jesse, on this one. I think the media is just waiting to get a Taylor romance story. So I think they'd be eager to jump on something that might have been as innocent as her being at a party with somebody else. You know, even if they were talking and they engaged in a gesture, you know, like it could have just been anything. So until we see more on this, I don't know if I quite believe it. But it definitely, to me, would be a little too soon.
Yeah. And now before we get into our predictions, I had to read some of my favorite tweets regarding last night's episode, only because so many people were tweeting about Kim Richards, and they were so hysterical, I had to read them. So Alex Sulkin, a.k.a. The Sulk, wrote, "Car wrecks slow down to stare at Kim Richards." And Working Barbie... Working Barbie wrote, "Whatever Kim Richards was on tonight, I want some." Christian Sueda wrote, "I wish I could be Kim Richards, drunk every day of my life." And Tyler Patterson wrote, "Kim Richards is a class A fried nut job." And finally, Alexander Reedham wrote, "It's not an episode of Roby unless Kim Richards is on speakerphone sounding incoherent and high at least one." So I think no matter what people think about the show, Kim Richards last night was at least entertaining. What do you guys think?
Absolutely.
Totally agree.
I mean, for whatever it is, let's say she does, we do find more of an addiction or something of that sort. Abel, I want to play it this way, guys. I actually want to bring this up to you because I'm kind of questioning it. Every time she went to the bathroom, her sister went to the bathroom with her. So if it was, you know, I mean, things come to mind like cocaine, pills. If it was any of these things, that would mean to me that Kyle was hiding it as well. And maybe that's why she's giving the awkward, goofy faces, because she does know something. Or are they, is she just like, there are crazy people in this world who just like, are a little off their belt, you know, and we may not understand it, but to them, you know, maybe she just had, like she said, she had high anxiety. Maybe she just had to keep getting away from the party. You know what I mean? Like, it could be so many different things, but I don't know. I just thought it was interesting that Kyle kept going to the bathroom, and maybe she was going to the bathroom to make her sister look better, knowing what her sister was doing, like, and thinking, like, well, if they see me going to the bathroom with her, they know it's not anything really bad.
I actually don't think Kyle knows. I think she went to the bathroom because she herself is suspicious. I mean, she checked Kim's drink several times just to see what she was drinking and whether there was alcohol in it. And she herself went to the bathroom so that her sister wouldn't do anything. That's why I don't think that Kim was taking drugs or doing anything, because her sister was right there, so she couldn't do it. I think whatever she did before she came to the party. And when you have that in combination with an already kooky personality, that's what it was. I don't think she was actually doing anything during the game night, because she couldn't ask if Kyle was right there.
Wait, one other question for you guys. What do you guys think of Dana's, like, hosting personality as far as like the game night was I mean Camille was like, "We had crackers and then breadsticks."
Yeah, I have to say, for somebody who's a party planner, or I'm not sure what her actual business is, but she definitely, compared to even Lisa's little quaint dinner party, if you want to call it that, she didn't seem to really have her skills on, if that's her business.
No, I mean, the thing is, I think for all I have to say about Dana, I feel rude critiquing her party planning. I think that was a little catty of the girls to be like, "Oh, there's no furniture," or "Oh, there's no food." I mean, it was just a game night. She didn't need to make it into this extravagant thing. You can have a laid-back game night. So on that one, I'll probably side with Dana, though I don't think I'll continue to side with her
That's right. Let's get into some predictions, because I have some predictions about all of these wives and what's going to happen.
Well, and I definitely agree with you, Mari, but I mean, I'll let this go.
What did you think about her hosting?
Well, no, because, I mean, I definitely understand. I'm not one to, like, judge anybody on that at all because, you know, we have what we have and you make the best out of it. To me, if she didn't last week brag about the sunglasses, brag about her pants, her shirt, if she wasn't bragging so much about what she has, then I would say that was actually a fun game night. Like, she had games planned out. She had the stickers on the floor. She had cupcakes with chess pieces. Like, that's creative to me. But in the sense of, like, bragging, well, oh, I'm going to get married in a castle and all these luxurious things. Oh, Valentino. You know what I mean? Like, the way she dropped it earlier was like, Valentino, oh, he was just here. And then Brandy was like, wait, Valentino was here? And she's like, well, no, my shopper was here. You know, then it was like little things just to make herself. And I think this is where I guess this is perfect for predictions. To me, I think this is where Dana's storyline is going to go, that she's going to be outed almost like a Teresa from Real Housewives of New Jersey. Not that she went bankrupt or anything, but the sense of you really don't have that type of money. And I feel like there might be an intervention of the girls, like, you don't have to act a certain way. We like you for you. Like, you don't have to be that person. Because, like Camille said, you know, they're giving us little hints, like, why is there no furniture in the house? You know, like, somebody who was an event planner, when you do those types of things, when your job is to plan events, that means you're really good at making things happen when you don't have anything. And I don't know. I just saw. I was surprised actually at first that there was a bartender there. I was like, okay, at least you have that to show. Because I was going to be like, at any of these other girls' houses, there would be like somebody working their tiny little event barbecue or whatever. So I don't know. I don't know. I think that there's going to be a storyline with her. I think that's where her storyline's going as far as Dane is concerned.
Yeah, and the thing is, you can see right through her. She's trying to overcompensate because she doesn't have the things that Lisa has, that Adrienne has. And instead of being like Kyle and owning it and saying, oh, my clothes are from Target, she tries to overcompensate. And no one likes someone who's fake.
Absolutely. I think, honestly, Dana, it's really not about her not having the things the other women have. I would actually, you know, I think, Jesse, you were looking to her to be sort of that real person, and she's not delivering. And I think it's really not about how much money she has or what she doesn't have. It's just about what she's made of. And I don't think she even knows what she's made of because she's just so wishy-washy. And, you know, if she, like, owned who she was, like, I don't have what these other women have. You know, please, I'm more down to earth or whatever. I think we'd like her more, but she just, I don't think she knows what she's doing, and that's coming through.
Exactly.
Yeah, definitely. But let's get into our predictions. So I guess you were saying, Jesse, you think the girls are going to have an intervention with Dana. I mean, I know for sure we're going to see the end of this fight between Kim, Kyle, and Brandy. I knew that once they started this fight, it was going to go into next episode. I knew there was going to be some sort of to be continued. It sounds like the fight gets even crazier next episode, and I guess that Kyle and Kim say something about Brandy's parenting that really pisses her off. So we'll have to stick around for that. And then again, Kevin, the wedding planner, comes to start planning Lisa Vanderpump and her daughter's wedding. And so we'll have exclusive details on that. And he's hilarious. Just so you guys know, he is the wedding planner that the father of the bride wedding planner was modeled after. Like, the hilarious wedding planner in Father of the Bride is actually Kevin, the wedding planner. So he will be hilarious to have on. You guys have any last-minute predictions?
No, just that I am so looking forward to, now that I just heard that, I can't think about anything else because that is my favorite movie and my favorite character, and that's so iconic. I can't wait for him to join us.
Oh, my God. It's going to be hilarious.
Oh my gosh, so excited. And, you know, drama, drama, drama. It'll play out with Brandy and Kyle and Kim, and I think Kim will just stay crazy and Brandy will stay like a B-I-T-C-H, and hopefully Kyle will get more, you know, get back on track.
Do you guys think that there's going to be a division between all of the girls, or they're going to, I mean, as far as, because I almost see Adrian kind of giving into the gossip about Kim, because she has been making comments. She has been saying, like, you know, oh, Kim's flaked out before. And so I feel like Brandy's going to, you know, run to her aid. And I kind of feel like there could be something maybe stirred up there as well. I don't know, but I'm excited.
I don't think that only because Adrian never gets involved. All last season, all the drama that went down, she never really got involved. And so I would be very surprised and disappointed if she, you know, got involved in any of the drama this season.
Yeah, I agree with you, Mari. I think she said it straight out to Kyle about Kim, and I think that's the way she is. I don't think she's going to get sucked into any kind of divide. And I do think that Kyle, as bad as it got with Brandy, I think that they're going to give it another shot, because Kyle, I think, knows that she was a little out of line and she doesn't really know Brandy yet.
Well, actually, listening to the Ryan Seacrest interview, Kyle says things get really bad before they get anywhere near better. And then when Ryan said, well, how are you guys now? She said, well, when we're around each other, we're civil. So I don't know if there's going to be any full rekindling with that, but at least if we bring it up to civilization, I guess maybe that works for us.
Yeah, well, we'll have to see what unfolds. But once again, Jesse and Jackie, you are my two favorite AfterBuzz co-hosts. So thank you for joining me this week. And Meredith, thank you for calling in if you're listening. And everyone will have to join us for a special episode next week. And I'm glad to have been able to host this week. I missed last week, guys.
We missed you,
too. I know. We're happy to have you back, Mari.
Perfect. Well, thank you so much, and everyone, make sure to join us next week.
From producers Kevin Undergaro and Phil Svitek, engineer DJ Jesse Janity, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. If you have questions or comments, be sure to buzz us at info@AfterBuzzTV.com. And you can find us on Facebook or follow us on Twitter by searching for AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.